How's it going, everybody, and welcome to Just Nobody's Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan.
And I'm your host, Daniel.
And today we're doing a podcast. Woo! If you're new to the channel, please smash that subscribe button. You know, if you smash the subscribe button, you might one day, like, meet your favorite celebrity.
Oh.
And if you hit the like button,
yeah,
you'll probably be able to.
I think that's, yeah, that's right? Valid.
Why not?
Right.
It doesn't cost you anything. Just do it. Meet Brad Pitt one day or something.
Yeah.
I don't know, whoever you want to meet.
Zendaya.
Okay, yeah. It's going to happen.
Yep.
Smash it. Also, comment what you guys want us to talk about next week. As you're going to see throughout this podcast, we took your ideas that you wanted us to discuss, and we're going to be discussing it today. This podcast, we will be talking about our top five favorite, craziest Disney theories.
Yeah.
Along with X-Men 97, giving you guys a deep breakdown, some hidden Easter eggs, and just explaining episodes 1 and 2. And we got some crazy movie news, along with the top 10 scariest movies based on science.
Ooh.
So, let's get into the podcast.
Okay, first Disney theory that I really like is, who is Mother Gothel? Now, it's either Meg from Hercules, or it's either the Evil Queen from Snow White.
Right.
For the Evil Queen from Snow White.
Okay.
At the end of Snow White, we see the Evil Queen fall off a cliff.
Yes.
Right? Everybody assumes she's dead. But there's a movie rule out there, okay? If you don't see a body, that person is not dead.
They're not.
Right? At the beginning of Tangled, we see Mother Gothel find the flower at the bottom of a cliff.
Yes.
Wearing a black cloak, and she's old. Exactly how the witch was. The queen was. Evil queen.
Right.
So, it could make sense that she is the evil queen, and she found the flower and makes her Mother Gothel.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense.
I mean, you gotta think, too. They're both obsessed with being young and beautiful.
Right.
So, it makes sense that they're the same person if they're both obsessed with that.
And they both look very similar. Like, when they're old, the old versions of them both look very similar.
Right. And then also, we know the Evil Queen used the poison apple on Snow White, right?
Yes.
Now, in Tangled, in the tower, there is an apple, like, painted on the staircase. Kind of, like, signifying that it's kind of tied together. So, I think it's safe to assume that it could be the Evil Queen.
I think so.
Yeah. So, the other theory is, could it be Meg from Hercules?
Yeah, I also like this, too.
Okay, so we know that the flower in Tangled was formed from a drop of sun that fell from the sky.
Right.
Now, in Hercules, Hercules was like a drop of sun that fell from the sky. He fell from Olympus, right? And when he was a baby.
Right.
And it looks like a drop of sun. So the theory is that because he fell from Olympus, he actually formed the flower. Now, Mother Gothel is Meg because how would she know where the flower is? And how would she know what song to sing to it to make sure it works if she did not know who Hercules was?
Oh.
Right? If she wasn't from that universe of like Olympus and everything like that.
Right.
How would she know how the flower works? How would she know it had powers? And how would she know what to say to it?
Yeah.
And also, Mother Gothel is singing a song to Rapunzel, right? And she says, watch out for men with pointy teeth.
Yeah.
Now, who has pointy teeth in the Disney universe? Hades.
Right.
And Meg used to work for Hades.
Right.
So it would make sense she's telling her to watch out for men with pointy teeth because she's dealt with men with pointy teeth.
Right.
So it could be Meg.
Also, Meg, doesn't she say you big lug?
Yes. So Meg and Mother Gothel are the only two characters in Disney to use the phrase, you big lug. The only two characters.
Yeah.
Nobody else has said that.
It's a very unique line of dialogue.
Yeah.
And for all the characters in Disney.
Right.
And these two characters that resemble each other quite a bit.
Yeah.
Have so much in common. Use the same exact line that is so unique to them.
Exactly.
It is very ironic.
Yeah. So comment what you guys think. Meg or the Evil Queen? Personally, I don't know. The Meg one's kind of more convincing.
Yeah. Especially like the appearance, the dialogue she says, and then just like some of the similarities.
Yeah, just even knowing what the flower does.
Yeah.
And knowing it has powers.
Right.
Okay, so moving on to the next theory is, who the heck is Boo from Monsters, Inc.? Who could she be? Who does she grow up to be? Where does she come from?
Yes.
Now, one of the big theories that was more recent is, could she be related to Abby from Turning Red?
Yeah.
Now, we know that in Monsters, Inc., there was a map to see where the kids that are that they're scaring.
Yes.
And it kind of fell into the Canada area.
Uh-huh.
Now, we know Abby and May are from Canada, but it also takes place in, I think, 2001. And when you look at Abby and you look at Boo, they do have a lot of similarities. Abby has overalls, and she wears like the signature like pink and purple, but her overalls have flowers on it. Now those flowers kind of resemble the flowers on Boo's door. Now for that theory, there's not much more evidence from it, but they do strike resemblance, and we know that Abby is in middle school in 2001, so it makes sense that she would be like an older sister to Boo, and it's she's not actually Boo. But another theory is Boo Violet from The Incredibles. Okay, so we know in Monsters, Inc., right, there's been many situations where Sully is with Boo and then he loses her out of nowhere. Yeah. Like they're playing hide and seek in the bathrooms and she's like appearing in one stall, then reappearing in another stall. Sully puts her in a room and magically she appears behind him.
Yeah.
It's almost as if she's turning invisible and she has powers, because how would that even happen? It's like almost inhuman the way it seems in the movie. So it makes sense that she has superpowers and that she is discovering her powers just as Jack-Jack did when he was young.
Right.
And it makes sense that Boo isn't scared of Sully, who's supposed to be the best scarer in Monsters, Inc., and she's not scared of him, but it's because he resembles Mr. Incredible. They're both the same size, right? And they've definitely fought villains that are very scary, and Violet has probably been exposed to that.
Right.
So it makes sense why she wouldn't be scared of Sully, right? I understand you're scared of Randall, because that looks like nothing you've ever seen before. Uh-huh. It's like a giant lizard.
Yeah.
But Sully kind of resembles Mr. Incredibles with his size and everything.
The physique is very similar.
Right. So it makes sense that Boo could be Violet.
It does make sense. The way she's able to disappear in the bathroom.
Right.
Kind of weird.
Okay, the next theory on who Boo is she the witch from Brave? Now, this is probably one of the most popular ones about who Boo is.
I think this one has the most evidence.
Yeah. So we see in Monsters, Inc., they use doors, and that's basically like their form of travel, like almost like traveling to different places. They open a door, and they're magically in a kid's room.
Right.
Right? So if Boo knows that, and she is disconnected from Sully for all these years, right? They say their goodbyes, and he really never gets to see her again. So the theory is that Boo dedicates her life to finding the magic behind those doors. And how is it possible to find a door that leads to Sully? Now, in Brave, we see that the witch is opening and closing doors, and it's changing the room inside. It resembles the Monsters, Inc. doors very well. Now, if you look at the workshop of the witch, she actually has a carving of Sully in one of the wood pieces, which is crazy evidence.
Yeah.
She has like a literal portrait of Sully in there, and she's trying to replicate the magic that was in Monsters, Inc. with these doors. So it makes sense. She's dedicated her entire life to finding Sully, and this is the magic that she's using in Brave.
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, how else do you have a picture of Sully?
Right. How do you know what that looks like?
Yeah.
And she also has like the Pizza Planet truck, which is like the signature, but she has Sully in there.
But Pizza Planet truck, wasn't that in Monsters, Inc.?
Yeah, it's pretty much in every Pixar. Yeah. So I think the most convincing is the witch.
Yeah.
But I also like to believe that it could be Violet.
Yeah. Both have good evidence. I think maybe the evidence behind the Boo with Brave is a little bit more. And then I think it goes, if I had to rank them,
yeah,
and like ones that I believe in,
yeah.
I'd go the Boo and Brave,
yeah,
Boo and Violet, and then Turning Red.
Yeah.
I think those are the rankings of,
I think so too,
which ones are most plausible.
Yeah. Okay, the next theory is Peter Pan is actually the evil one and Captain Hook is the hero.
This, okay, I have to say this, okay? The evidence behind this theory is undeniable. After you hear this, you will never view Peter Pan the same.
Right.
If you view Peter Pan the same, you are psycho.
Yeah, so in Peter Pan, we see that Peter Pan will take kids to Neverland and tell them it's an area where they'll never grow up.
Right.
Now, you look at Captain Hook, and he always tries to capture the Lost Boys, right? He always tries to only kidnap the Lost Boys, but he tries to kill Peter Pan. It's never as if he's trying to capture Peter Pan. He's always trying to kill Peter Pan and capture the Lost Boys. Now, the theory is that all the crew of Captain Hook are all Lost Boys that grew up, because the theory is that when kids grow up in Neverland, Peter Pan will actually kill them.
Right.
And in the original story, I'm pretty sure that's how it went. Peter Pan would kill the Lost Boys if they got too old. Right. So Captain Hook, that's why we always see him only capturing the Lost Boys, right? There's a scene where they're tied up on his ship and he's literally trying to kill Peter Pan while he's got the Lost Boys tied up.
Right.
It's because he's trying to save the Lost Boys from Peter Pan so they can grow up on his ship just like all the other crewmates.
Yep.
So Peter Pan is actually the evil one and he's been the one killing all these kids while Captain Hook is trying to save them to let them live out their entire lives.
Yeah. I feel like in terms of the evidence behind it, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
You know, like it makes sense that there's no one else growing up in Neverland.
Right. Peter Pan.
Taking him out.
Take him out.
Okay. I want to talk about a crazy theory about Aladdin. There's a crazy theory that Aladdin actually takes place in like a post-apocalyptic world.
Oh, yeah. This okay? one's good.
We know that in Aladdin, okay, the genie has a lot of pop culture references, right? He has the Jack Nicholson.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then he talks about slot machines.
Exactly.
And a lot of this technology that he's referring to wasn't around, you know, during the time of Aladdin when it's supposed to be taking place, right? So what's insane is that Aladdin came out in 1990, right?
Yeah.
And let's just say it takes place during 1990.
Right.
Now, the genie awakens out of the lamp, right? Yeah. He said, I've been stuck in there for 10,000 years.
Yeah.
So say if it does take place whenever.
The 90s, right.
Or no, even before that. Yeah. Say it takes place way before that, right? 10,000 years. How does it make sense that the genie has all these references to 90s stuff, right? Yeah. And how does Aladdin understand it, right? If he didn't live through it.
Yeah.
So I believe that Aladdin actually takes place 10,000 years past our time.
Right.
And that's why Aladdin knows about like all the 90s references because it's from the past.
It's happened.
Right. It's like pop culture for him.
Yeah.
In the Aladdin video game, we know that in the Aladdin movie, there are no cars.
No cars.
And if you have no cars in your world or your time, there's no need for streets with lines on them. There's no need for traffic lights, stop signs.
Right.
What's the point of that? You're not going to abide a stop sign or traffic light with a camel. You know what I mean? Like, so in the Aladdin video game, there are roads with and there are stop signs and traffic signs and why
it doesn't make any sense.
So the theory is Aladdin actually takes place in a post-apocalyptic world and it's kind of like resetting the world from all the destruction from World War III. It makes sense, right? You could argue that they're just trying to make the movie entertaining, but if you take all the facts for what it is, right, it is kind of suspect. In all the little hints, it does point to that Aladdin is actually in the future.
Yeah. The stop sign is crazy. Why would you need a stop sign?
Right.
Nowhere in the movie do we see a car. Nowhere in the movie do we see any sort of automobile vehicle.
Right.
Why do you need a stop sign? It doesn't make sense. And in the video game, it looks like it's all like beat up and like buried in the sand.
Yeah.
So you know it's from a long time ago.
Right.
It's not even like it's a brand new stop sign. That thing looks wrecked. It looks like it's been through a zombie apocalypse.
It looks older than Aladdin.
Right. It definitely takes place in the future.
The next theory I want to talk about is how Carl from Up killed his wife.
Oh, this one's... Oh. This one's a doozy.
It was hard for me to even say that out loud. Okay. So we all respect Up here. Okay, I'm not trying to diss Up. I'm not trying to discredit Up. I think it's one of the best movies of all time. But there's a couple things that are never really answered, right? We see Ellie pass away. It's kind of like a silent film, right? We see the progression of the relationship and the downfall of her health.
Yeah.
And in turn, one of the saddest opening scenes from a movie. Carl and Ellie were both born in the 1930s. Now, during the 1930s, it is very common that paint buckets that were used for houses, you know, the walls, the color of houses.
Yeah.
They would use this paint that consisted of a lot of lead.
Mm-hmm.
Now, today, we've removed a lot of lead from everyday items that we use, right? Like, paint doesn't have lead in it as much, if not any, right?
Yeah.
But back then, paint had a lot of lead in it. In the 1930s, 1940s, 1950s, right? When Ellie and Carl bought their home and they started painting throughout the house, they were using that paint that had lead in it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, lead poisoning can lead to cancer. It actually will deteriorate your bones over time. It may affect you, people at different stages of their life. You know, some people may get to 90 and start having the effects from lead poisoning. Some people maybe only make it to 40 and they have the effects from lead poisoning.
Mm-hmm.
And as we see Carl and Ellie, Ellie can't run up the hill, right?
She's not strong. The usual hill that they go up and lay by. Yeah.
Right. And it would make sense that her bones and muscles are deteriorating.
Right.
And it turns out she has cancer.
Yeah.
And it all stems from the lead in the paint. I mean, that's the only thing that makes sense. During that time period, many people around their age had cancer from lead.
Right. It also could attribute to her infertility.
Right.
Right. They couldn't have kids, and that could be from the lead.
Exactly.
So Carl could have killed Ellie by buying that house.
Some innocent mistake could turn into the best opening scene in cinema history. Yeah, guys, but comment what you guys think. I mean, there's a lot of evidence to these theories, and obviously, I think Disney's pretty smart about, you know, they are staying true to the times, right?
Right.
I think it was very common during the 1940s and 50s for people that were living in their 20s and 30s that when 2010 came around, a lot of them were dying from cancer.
Yeah.
A lot of infertility issues. It was very common. And I think it all stems from a lot of the lead poisoning.
Right. You got to think about this too, right? Disney will, like you said, Disney will stick to like the times, the facts. You look at Nemo, they really studied the facts of like what's in the ocean to make that movie. So it makes sense that they would kind of tie that in with Up because they go so far back in time. So they need to kind of make it like those times. Makes sense.
Comment what you guys think. Let us know if there's any theories you guys want us to touch on, dive deeper in, and let us know in the comments. Now, I want to move on to X-Men 97. Now,
yes.
First two episodes, yes. Phenomenal. Phenomenal. Now, I kind of want to go through a couple things that maybe there's some questions that people have about X-Men. And there's one thing that I think we'll start off with this, okay?
Okay.
Jean Grey, Cyclops, they have a kid.
Yeah.
They have a baby, Scott, and... the kid is Nathan Summers.
Right.
And for everyone who doesn't know, Cable from Deadpool 2, right, Josh Brolin's character, is Nathan Summers.
Yeah.
And what happens is he gets a techno infection. During the time of the X-Men, right, there's no cure for the techno infection.
Mm.
And what happens is, in the comics, they need to send Nathan Summers to the future where they can get he can get treatment and he could survive with the techno infection.
Ah, yeah.
So most likely, in the show, they're going to have to explain that whole techno infection.
Right.
Or they're going to have a whole different backstory for Nathan Summers.
Nathan Summers.
But if it falls to comics, he will become Cable.
Especially because we're already seeing him in Deadpool. We know Deadpool 3 is coming out.
Yeah.
It's all going to be tied together.
And you ask me, X-Men 97 has Bishop in it. And we know Bishop's from the future.
So
he got to go back. He has to go back at some point.
And Nathan has to go.
Nathan has to go. Perfect send-off. Use Bishop.
Yeah.
Okay. Also, we see how Rogue and Magneto kind of have this love for each other.
This little moment.
We see how Gambit and Rogue also has a relationship together. And there's kind of like this awkward love triangle going on right now. And we actually see at the end of episode 2, Magneto touches hands with Rogue, right? And as we know, Rogue cannot touch people with her bare hands.
Right.
Always has to wear gloves. Otherwise, she'll absorb their power and sometimes, well, she'll kill him. But what this shows is he's been able to learn his powers even deeper, and he's become more powerful where he actually can control the force, the magnetic force with Rogue's touch.
Right.
Where they can actually touch each other. And that's why there's like electrical spark.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah. But at the end of the episode, we do see Gambit does see or hears Magneto and Rogue getting it kind of frisky. And he drops the card, right? The Queen of Hearts. Right? It kind of symbolizes that the love.
He lost his queen.
Another crazy, shocking moment in the X-Men show is when Storm loses her powers. Now, this is something that happens in the comics. And Storm does lose her powers, right? She says, like, I can't feel the wind anymore. I can't feel the weather. She's going to have to learn again how to, like, be one with nature, be one with the environment, and the road of her trying to get her powers again. So there's actually a comic called Life Death. And it actually follows the story of Storm losing her powers. It's basically her journey of trying to find herself again and find how to get her powers back.
Interesting.
And she actually falls in love with the guy who is responsible for taking her powers.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
If you look at the episodes for X-Men 97, the episode title list, there's an episode called Life Death.
Oh.
So it makes sense. They're going to explore that storyline.
Oh, is that so cool?
Yeah. And we know that there's a lot of rumors going around that the villain of season one is Mr. Sinister.
Right.
Now, Mr. Sinister is one of the best X-Men villains. And he's also rumored to be the main villain of the X-Men live action that's going to be coming to the MCU. So it's going to be really interesting to see how that will all play out. Mr. Sinister is one of the most ruthless characters. He's an evil scientist that was from the 1800s, I believe, preyed on mutants and prey on power to help himself live longer. And hopefully we get to see him in season one. We'll see.
I think we will.
I think so. I think it definitely seems they're going in that route, that direction. Also, there is crazy news in the movies right now. Margot Robbie, right? As we know, she's very popular right now for Barbie.
Yeah.
She's actually jumping into a new, very popular IP that all kids loved at one point in their life, and that is Sims. Who would have thought? I would have never. Margot Robbie is she's working on a Sims movie now. If she's gonna be in it or she's just producing it, I don't know, but it will be really interesting because the Sims world is very similar to the Barbie world when you think about it. It's gonna involve being in a world where people are gonna have to communicate,
right?
They have their own language that we don't understand, and it's gonna be really silly. I think it I don't know how they're going to do it. Maybe they're going to talk about the history of Sims, yeah. Like how Sims came to be, or it's going to actually take place in the Sims world.
I think that would be interesting. In the Sims world.
Well, the Sims world, it's Barbie.
Yeah, it literally is.
I don't know.
It's basically like that whole like NPC kind of thing, right?
I think what would be really cool is a movie about how the creator of Sims created the game.
Yeah, okay. That would be cool.
Yeah.
Like, what was the thought process of, like, I want to build a whole new world where I can be whatever I want, whenever I want.
Right, because I know right now they are working on a Pop-Tart film that is about the history of Pop-Tarts and how it became what the snack we love today.
Yeah. Oh, another thing, going back to Storm from the X-Men. There's a big rumor about What If Season 3. Now, there's a rumor is that Storm will have an episode where she actually wields Mjolnir.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
In What If?
In What If. So that's just like a rumor right now.
Okay.
But apparently she's supposed to wield Mjolnir, and it's going to be like, she's like super OP.
Wow. Thor is considered the god of thunder, right?
Yeah.
I mean, why can't she control thunder too?
Right.
She's like controls the weather.
When she's using her power, she is pretty OP.
Yeah. I mean, she essentially is Thor.
Yeah.
But better, because she can have all the elements, not just lightning.
Right. So we'll see. Some other big news that Ryan will be very excited about. Hopefully some of you are excited about too. True Moo Milk is now going to start releasing the blue milk from Disneyland.
Are you serious?
They're going to start releasing it in stores April 17th.
Oh my gosh. Guys, blue milk is so good. Green milk is horrible, but blue milk is so good.
I don't think I've had the green milk. I've only had the blue, but the blue is very good.
Yeah, it is like perfect texture, perfect, you know, like it's like, it's frozen like a Slurpee, but not quite as frozen.
Yeah, it's like a Slurpee milkshake almost.
Yeah, it is so fantastic.
I don't know how they're going to package it because it's like got that frozen-ish thing going on. I don't know how they're going to do that. They're probably not going to do that. It's probably just going to be like straight liquid.
Yeah, but it's colored milk.
It's supposed to be coming, and it's supposed to be the same thing.
Ah, I'm excited.
Now, this is some crazy news, okay? Yeah. So this Australian billionaire, okay. He's like probably the 700th richest person in the world.
Okay.
And he has stated on a press conference that his dream is to build the Titanic 2.
Okay.
So he's going to build an exact replica of the Titanic.
Now, let me ask you this. He wants to build a replica, right?
Yeah.
You know how the first one went.
Right.
And he wants to replicate the same structure.
He wants to replicate the same thing.
So he's hoping that it collapses.
I don't know. I'm hoping.
I hope there's improvements made.
I hope so. And that they don't hit an iceberg.
Right.
But he wants to create an exact replica. Call it the Titanic 2.
Okay.
They're going to start making it at the beginning of next year.
Uh-huh.
It's going to set sail in 2027.
That's very fast.
Yeah.
That's a very scary turnaround.
So I don't know how that's going to go, but let's hope it doesn't hit an iceberg.
I just imagine like they're going to need marketing and they're going to have influencers
oh, no.
go on a trip on the Titanic and they're going to be like, we are going to Iceland. Right? Or like something like where this iceberg and like it's just going to be.
Yeah, it's going to.
See, look, we survived. We're approaching the iceberg.
Yeah, I don't know how this is going to work out, okay? But that's just the news on that.
Yeah.
Hopefully, there's some more updates to come soon. Another crazy thing going on in the world. Teachers are now starting to use AI to grade papers and assignments.
Oh, interesting.
Now, this has brought up a lot of controversy, some questions, okay? If students aren't allowed to use AI for the assignments,
yeah,
why should teachers use AI to grade their assignments? Okay, because this is what's happening.
Okay.
Teachers are using an AI software to grade papers that will give feedback. Okay, the AI will give the feedback on the paper. Now, the teachers could literally just copy that feedback, feed to the student, right?
Yeah.
So what they're doing is they're saying it's supposed to save time and create more of like a healthy lifestyle for teachers to separate work and life. Allow them to have more time.
Okay.
Now, when you think about it, students also could use some more time. So, like, is it fair that students can't use AI? I understand. Students should not be able to use AI to write their papers, but okay. They should be able to use AI to get information.
Sure.
Right?
But, I mean, let me ask you this, just to play the other side.
Okay.
If you're given a student a multiple choice homework assignment,
right,
all they have to do is copy and paste the questions and answer choices into ChatGPT and get the answers, right?
Yeah.
Now, you think that kid's going to go through, copy and paste it, and be like, I want to understand why the answer is right. I want to understand.
Yeah, that's true.
They're just going to copy and paste that stuff and boom, done.
Okay, I get that part. But if teachers are using AI for feedback and they're just giving that feedback to the students, are they teaching the students or is the AI teaching the students?
Sure, that's valid, right? Yeah. I get what you're saying. But if the students use AI, right, in terms of growing them, for preparing them for the future,
yeah,
teachers are already made it, okay?
That's
true. They don't need to learn how to grade papers, okay?
Right.
So you give the opportunity to give the students AI.
Yeah.
they're not going to learn.
That's true.
There's no point. Give the teachers AI.
Right.
Did they get, they became teachers because they went to school without AI.
Right, right.
They learn how to problem solve, and now they're here.
But look at coders today.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, I wonder where this is going to go. Let's see here.
Oh, coders today.
Yes.
They have knowledge of coding.
Okay.
Right.
Ones that already went through school.
Right. Okay. But they are using AI to solve their problems.
Sure.
Right? Technically, do they need the school?
You're saying like,
or could they just have gone online and be like, how do I code for this? AI, show me how to code this.
You're saying that students basically should just, if you have AI at your disposal, why even learn if AI is a part of your life and as it is?
Okay, I shouldn't be worded like that. Like, what should it be like, why even learn? I know students need to learn.
Okay.
Right. But they shouldn't be restricted from using AI.
You got to remember, they're kids with not fully developed brains that can't make decisions for themselves.
Kids are just going to abuse it. I get it. I just think it's pretty crazy.
If a parent agrees, I feel that, sure, to have, you know, in this world, right, if kids want to work hard and some kids don't want to work hard and, like, parents want their kids to learn the right way and some parents don't want to, who don't care, if the parent signs off on, like, yeah, I'll let my kid use AI, sure.
That would be a crazy time when parents get a form. Can my child use AI for school?
Yeah.
That would be crazy.
And just see the collapse of the world.
It wouldn't be good.
Hear me out here, right?
If students use AI for their assignments, obviously it wouldn't be good because they wouldn't learn.
Right.
But they could use it as like a Google.
Well, this is where I have an interesting debate here, right? As kids, we would go to the library, you'd have to check out a book, you would have to use like an encyclopedia, you would have to cite your sources. You had these books, right? You had to research, you had to go through, dig through certain books, find little snippets of information.
Right.
While we had 10 feet from us a computer lab with Google. Now, why did we do that? What was the point, right? You can argue that you can actually be more effective by allowing kids to use the technology that's going to be at their disposal and better understand how to use it.
Yeah.
Understanding shortcuts on Google, understanding certain websites that are credible. Like, that is more valuable than going through a library trying to check out 10 different books for just a paragraph of information when you could save so much time just
hours.
Going on Google, right? So I don't know at what point is AI just going to be have to taught to be used as a tool and accepted because it's the whole library thing over again.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. You're kind of passionate about that.
Well, it
makes a lot of sense, though.
Yeah. I mean, what's the point?
Yeah.
If we're going towards the direction of technology and AI, like, you're going to say, like, oh, in school, you can't use it. But then when they get out of school, it's like, look at all this that you have.
Right.
Use it.
Especially, like, even looking through articles. Like, you could say, we're teaching the kids how to look through articles and find the information.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. There are such things as PDFs, and you can just hit Control F on your computer and type in a word, and it'll find every time it says that word.
Right.
It's kind of getting to that point where that it's going to have to be totally different. It's like a totally different skill set.
Yeah. I think it's important to have classes to teach kids how to use AI.
Appropriately.
But, right. And also have classes where it shows kids how to problem solve and use analytical thinking, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I want to also move on to the top 10 scariest movies based on science. So basically what scientists did is they got a large group of people. They monitored their heart using EKG machines that would essentially be able to see their heart rate and monitor it throughout the duration of watching movies.
Yeah.
And they were able to find which movies were actually responsible for creating the fastest heart rates. Starting in 10th place is Talk to Me, and they made people's hearts go to 106 beats per minute. 9th place is Hell House, LLC, with 107 beats per minute. 8th place is Smile, with 114 beats per minute. 7th place is The Conjuring 2, 116 beats per minute. 6th place is The Descent, 121 beats per minute. 5th place is The Conjuring, 132 beats per minute. 4th place is Insidious, causing 133 beats per minute. Now,
as we discussed, right?
Yeah. The average resting heart rate is between 60 and 100 beats per minute. When you go do some physical exercise, you're looking at maybe a little over 100, right? Yeah. Going to 130, depending on, you know,
what you're doing.
Right. And depending on your shape, right?
Right.
If you're like physically active, and your heart rate will probably be lower because your heart's used to it.
Yeah.
But to think about someone's heart rate going to 133 from watching Insidious is insane.
Yeah. That's a person that's seriously, like, running on a treadmill at 10 speed.
Okay, in third place is Skinamarink, and second place is Host, and first place is
Sinister.
Sorry for that long, awkward pause.
I will say, though, there are movies that I felt are scarier. I do feel Insidious was very scary. Obviously, this list is literally based on science. They're literally hooking up heart monitors to these people and figuring out how worked up they get.
Right.
Now, I've been pretty worked up in movies. I would love to see Ryan do one of these tests.
Well, I think I was watching Megan. Come to find out, Megan's not that scary. But, you know, my heart rate probably at the beginning of the movie was 130, probably.
Yeah. And we've discussed this before. Ryan does this trick to help with, like, the nerves in scary movies and, like, spiking the heart rate. He'll eat sour candy because that, I guess, will distract you from, like, the shock of the scariness to right. the shock of the sourness of the candy.
It's kind
of
like for people that have anxiety. Like, you're having an anxiety attack. You kind of, like, hold ice or you eat something sour. It kind of shocks your system to think of something else.
Yeah.
Well, why don't you tell us your top three scariest movies in your opinion?
Oh, okay.
Like that you felt
was very scary was definitely Insidious.
Okay.
The Conjuring. I honestly thought The Conjuring 2 was more scary than The Conjuring 1.
Okay.
So I think it would be Insidious, Conjuring 2. I hate dolls, so I think Annabelle.
And The Conjuring and Annabelle kind of are in the same
universe. But like dolls, like I don't do dolls.
You could do paranormal movies over dolls?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Because I'm like, dude, I really can't see what's going on. It's a ghost. Like,
I know, but paranormal seems more likely than a doll coming to life.
Yeah, I just don't like dolls, though.
Oh, like Chucky.
Yeah. Or, you know what? Chucky, I've gotten used to.
Yeah.
But like dolls like Annabelle, where it looks like a normal house doll, and then all of a sudden they're looking at you, and, you know, like it's a little weird.
In Annabelle, do you see her like crawl and like come after people?
No. That's what's freaky about it. You kind of just see her like, she'll like sit in a chair. And, like, it's like a rocking chair, and she'll start rocking the chair.
Do you see her moving?
No, she's just sitting in the chair. It's not like she's really, like, running around and moving. It's like there's, like, a demon in her that's, like, that's using her as, like, a vessel.
So you never see her, like, run around like Chucky?
Definitely not.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could never watch that movie.
You would not like that movie.
I'd probably cry.
I also saw a movie before. I forgot what it was called.
Pet Sematary?
No. Just going on Pet Sematary. That was scary, but not scary.
Okay.
I saw this one movie. It was with ventriloquist dolls. It was a ventriloquist doll that was like the doll of the movie.
Okay.
And I just felt so uneasy, even though it wasn't like that scary.
Was that doll running around like Chucky?
I think he was moving, yeah. Chucky's like jumping on everything, like slashing people, right?
Yeah.
That the ventriloquist doll was moving, but it wasn't like crazy. One of the movies that was like had a huge plot twist.
Yeah.
I think it was called The Boy. And that movie had one of the craziest plot twists ever. Like, I did not expect what was coming. That has a crazy plot twist.
What's the premise of the movie, though?
So there's like this doll that's like in this house, and this girl's like living in this house, and this doll kind of keeps like moving around and like ending up in different places and like almost like tormenting this girl, right? Uh-huh. She has no idea what's going on. There's just a big twist with that.
Can I watch it, or do you think it's gonna bug me?
I think it'll bug you because it's kind of, it could be a real thing.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wait. So there's some weird stuff going
on. There's some weird stuff going on in that movie.
So everything is real in a way. There's no like science fiction behind this movie. No. It's like somebody's in there.
Maybe.
I don't know. But this is all. Oh, my gosh. Okay. So now you're freaking me out. So you're saying that the movie you're led to believe that it's some kind of paranormal thing going on with the doll.
Yeah.
But really, this is very plausible. Like it could be based on a real life story. Because what is done in the movie could be replicated.
It could be replicated, but it's so like, it's pretty extreme. It's extreme, but it could be replicated. Came out in 2016.
Who's in it? Are they big actors?
Yeah, she is. I forgot her name. Lauren Cohen.
Okay. Oh my gosh. I kind of remember seeing trailers for this.
Yeah, okay. So,
she's from The Walking Dead.
Yeah. If I'm remembering this movie right, I remember seeing this movie. I'm like, what just happened? But there's a plot twist.
Okay, next week we'll talk about we'll give everyone a week to watch The Boy, and then we can come back and discuss it.
Yeah. So there. Okay. It leads you to believe it is paranormal, but there could be something else going on.
All right, guys. Comment your scariest movie. Also, comment if you guys have seen The Boy. I'm really curious to see your thoughts. If you guys think I could handle The Boy, let me know in the comments. I will read. Like, if you say, like, certain scenes or whatever, like maybe I could go YouTube it and search it. But, like, let me know if you think I could watch The Boy if I could barely do Megan. So, let me know. All right, guys. If you made it this far on the podcast, thank you so much for watching and listening. If you're new to the channel, like I said earlier, smash the subscribe button, hit the like button. If you want to meet Zendaya, if you want to meet Brad Pitt, you just got to hit
the like button. And comment what you guys want us to talk about next week. And we'll see you guys tomorrow on TikTok. And we'll see you guys next Sunday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube.
We'll see you on the TikTok.
God bless you guys. See ya.
Love ya.